Chinese New Year is around the corner, right? That's why I was sharing about the Ang Bao. And the New Year 2014 has just begun. So I reckon that it is a good time to give you an exhortation for the year ahead. A New Year message, that is. Please turn with me to our text this morning in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. I must confess that I'm struggling with something new in preaching, that is to use a projector with the verses on screen. I remember my past years of preaching is always, please turn to, and I give you some time to turn, flip the pages, but now I just keep going and going and going. But I recognize that there are people who are still using the traditional Bible. So what I'm going to do today is, and hopefully maybe even in time subsequently, is to let you have the time to turn, let you have the time to flip the pages. Okay? So please turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. And let us read our text from verse 13 to verse 14. Verse 13 to verse 14. Paul wrote, "Brethren, I count not Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Verse 14, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." In context, the Apostle Paul was sharing about his personal dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sharing about how he had been seeking to fulfill the ministry that the Lord has given to him. And in these two verses that we have just read, Paul likens the experience, the Christian journey, to running a long distance marathon. We are not sure if Paul was ever an athlete. Maybe running from a mob, running from a lion, maybe. But an athlete, I'm really not sure. But I do think that he knows one or two things about running. One or two things about running in a race. And he uses it as an analogy for the life and ministry in Christ. A few things that we can gather about Paul just by reading these two verses is that, number one, he had not yet arrived. Right? He said, "I have not apprehended." He had not yet arrived at the finish line. He had not yet apprehended. He had not yet achieved the prize of Jesus Christ. And he knew that the finish line was nearby. And that's why he wanted to run on. Therefore, with a single mind and regimental focus, Paul said that he wanted to not only finish the course, but he wanted to get a prize. He wanted to get a prize. I know that there are people in this world who cannot imagine not running 5 kilometers a day. They just cannot do without it. They have to run at least 5 kilometers a day. I also know that there are those people who cannot imagine running 50 meters a day. Except if it was after a taxi or maybe a bus. I read a quote on Facebook this week which says, "If my body was ever found dead on a jogging trail, just know I was murdered elsewhere and dumped there." Hey, this person really doesn't like running. Right? You can tell. You can tell, right? And he declares it, or she declares it. So whether you are a jogger, a runner or not, the analogy of running a race and winning the prize is very much applicable to you as a Christian. To you as a Christian in your personal walk with the Lord. So let us take a run with Paul and consider how Christians ought to, number one, take time in their Christian journey to carefully consider their past, purposefully focus on their future, and honestly evaluate their present. Alright? Oh, there's someone clicking for me too. Okay, so let us pray and then we'll look into these three points. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you once again during this time of worship service. As we look into your word, we ask that your Holy Spirit will work in us to open our heart once again to help us to see how we need to run our race. We pray, Lord, that we will learn from Paul and have him to teach us and have your Holy Spirit to guide us and help us to be a better runner and a winner in this Christian race. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, let us carefully consider our past. Paul says in verse 13, there's something wrong. Either with the clicker or... okay. Maybe I'm shooting at these people here. Okay. Paul says that we are to forget those things which are behind. The word forget here does not mean fail to remember. It does not mean fail to remember. I know in our life there are always things that we do not want to remember. Unhappy things, sad cases, we do not want to remember. But many times we continue to recall them. Alright? But that is not what forget is all about. Even though we do not like unhappy events in our life, and we cannot don't remember them, but there's one thing we can do. We can choose not to be affected, not to be influenced by them. Am I right? And that is what forget here in this verse means. What Paul is saying is that he willingly put aside, he willingly choose not to be influenced by those things that will affect his run. What are those things? Let us look at those things. In verses 5 to 6, Paul talks about his past secular achievements and prospects for worldly achievements, for worldly advancement. In verses 5 to 6, Paul says that he was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Essentially, what Paul is trying to tell us is that he was a self-righteous, honorable, and what we call today, high-flying Jew. He was climbing up the ladder, the corporate ladder of the Jewish society. He was gaining much prominence, just like the young man that we saw last Sunday in Mark chapter 10, right? He was the kind of high flyer, and that was prior to his salvation. Why did Paul choose to give up all these things? In the next verse, Paul says, "But what things were gained to me in the past? Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for what? Notice, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things." Indeed, he suffered some loss, Paul said. "But he counted them but dung, that I may win Christ." That is, that I may gain the approval and fellowship of Jesus Christ. All his advancement in the Jewish society, Paul now regarded them as useless, as dung. After his salvation, Paul considered one thing to be the most important, and what is that? The knowledge of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this morning I mentioned, to know Christ is to know the Word. So if that is your goal, you have to go to the Word. And for what we know, that was the most important thing in Paul's life. He'd rather give up everything else if only he could know the Lord better. And he gave up, he put aside everything that will hinder his progress in this direction. That is why Paul gave up all his past achievement and so on and so forth. Paul not only gave up his past, he also gave up his goal. He stopped going after fame and fortune. He stopped his quest for power and advancement. He counted all these things as dung in comparison to the gaining of approval and blessing of Jesus Christ. That was Paul. Furthermore, Paul chose to stop thinking about his past opposition, persecution, and trouble. Paul stopped thinking about all these things that hinder him, would hinder him just as well. He put them aside. Let us turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, another book written by Paul, and we look at verses 4 and 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And look carefully at what Paul says here. He said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, yet but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." You see the comparison there? You know how oftentimes many people will look at the same situation and come up with totally different opinion, right? So in this case, some people might look at Paul's trouble, confusion, persecution, and rejection, and see them as barriers, and see them as troubles, and would even decide to stop walking with the Lord. But Paul looked at the same thing, the same situation, and he came up with a totally different conclusion. He said that he did not feel the least discouraged, depressed, forsaken by God, or destroyed. No, he felt none of this thing. And the reason was that Paul made a choice. He made a choice to forget all about his past, the unhappy past. Evidently, it is important that we carefully consider our past, because our past will affect our present and our future. And if you were to recall your past, you probably can recall some wonderful success stories, some great achievements. Maybe you would also recall some spiritual struggles which you had victory over. Or maybe not so good, that you recall some spiritual struggles which had a way to bring you down to ground zero. Maybe you recall people who try to hurt you, people who try to just destroy you. So, bottom line is that some people would recall more success story, more happy story than others. And other people will recall just the other way around. But the most important thing is not what you recall, it's what you are going to do about it. Are you going to dwell on it? Are you going to throw a pity party and invite all your guests to come and tell them about all your stories, how pitiful you are? Or are you going to be like Paul? Learn to remove this past. Learn to remove these failures, even success story. Remove them. Remove those things which have a way to deter your walk with the Lord. If Paul can do it, you can do it too. I don't know about your past, but if you want to run the Christian race with dedication, you might have to change even your goals, your direction, your zeal, and even your affections. So that, as I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, you might become less worldly focused. Not like the Corinthians, who are, Paul say, carnal, and are yet like babes in Christ. We don't want to be like that. So we have to make some changes to become spiritual Christian, to be determined to follow after Christ. For sure, there will be a conflict of interest with yourself, for sure. For sure, there might even be a loss of fortune, and even advancement, promotion maybe, as Paul experienced. But it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all for the knowledge and closeness to our Lord Jesus Christ. We would have to stop admiring our achievements and avoid seeing ourselves as failure also. Whether you are too obsessed with yourself or too disappointed with yourself, either way, you will not be able to advance if you keep looking at your past. You will not be able to advance. Therefore, we must forget those things which are behind, as Paul said. Now, it is not that we do not learn from our past. We must. But we must not let those things hinder our past. Otherwise, you will be like the unwilling runner. Have you seen one lately? I run. I like to look at how people run too. Okay, there are those people who run with a very, I call it a beautiful feet posture. Straight, body is slightly inclined, very strong. There are those who run with the upper body pretty back. And it looks a bit funny to me because it's like the legs are running but the body say, I don't want to run. I don't feel like running. I want to stop. I want to go home and rest. You know, that kind. So don't be that kind of runner. Okay? I'm not making fun of any runner here. Okay? But don't be like that kind which even as you run, you think I want to stop. Even as you run, you think I want to give up. No. Run. Run with dedication. Forget about your past. And now let us look at how we should run forward. How we should run forward by purposefully focusing on our future. Paul tells us, back to our text, in verse 13, he tells us to be reaching forth unto those things which are before. Reaching forth. The word reaching forth carries the meaning of straining forward. Straining forward. Have you noticed how those 100 meter dash runner, as they approach the finishing line, how they will strain forward? You know, they don't just relax unless you're the first guy. You just, wave. But those who are really fighting for the finish, for the first position, they will strain forward. You know, they might even stick out their tongue, you know, just to be the first one. But they will strain forward. And that is the picture, that is the very true picture of reaching forward for the finish line. At this point in time, I mentioned earlier, when Paul wrote this letter, he had already come to almost to the end of his race. And the prize of the race is already at hand. He could see it. And that's why he was not going to stop running. He was reaching forth for the prize. And Paul was probably having the same mentality when he wrote in another verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, saying, to run with a mind to win. He said, know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize? Notice, so run that ye may obtain. Run that ye may obtain. Run with the kind of attitude. In order for us to run with the future-oriented concentration, Paul offers Christians three tips. Three important tips. Whether you're a runner or not, use these three tips. Let us look at tip number one. Tip number one, come up on the screen, please. We are to run with devotion. Run with devotion. Somewhere in the middle of our text, verse 13, Paul tells us, this one thing I do. This one thing I do. You know how unfortunate it would be for a runner to come to the track of a 100 meter dash thinking that he was going to run a marathon. The gunshot goes off, bang! Everybody dash off, and then he's thinking, what's the hurry? How unfortunate that would be. In the same sense, how unfortunate it would be if we run the race, Christian race, not knowing what we're supposed to do, why are we in the race, what is there for us, and who's my companion, and so on and so forth. Basically, for us Christians, we must remember who we are and what we have been called to do. And the answer is very simple. Every true believer in Jesus Christ is a child of God. And his goal is, ultimately, to glorify the Father in heaven. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, that tells us to glorify the Father in heaven. And the next verse, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, the verse that we are very familiar with, Paul says, "Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." So if we will only be mindful of our role as God's child and our responsibility to glorify the Father which is in heaven, then it would be much easier for us to forget our past, our advancement, our carnal desire, so on and so forth. Many years ago, someone shared with me this quote, and I still remember, and this is probably the quote, the saying that got me away from a worldly focus to cause me to want to resign and come into the ministry. A pastor told someone in his church, saying that my fear is not that I would fail, but that I would succeed in things that do not matter for eternity. Okay? My fear is not that I would fail. And most of us, I think you feel the same way, because you are capable people. But the fear is that you will succeed in things that do not matter for eternity. So, what's the use? What's the point? So remember who you are and what you're supposed to do. Glorify God. Alright, run with devotion. Secondly, second tip, run with concentration. Stay on course, that is. Stay on course. Paul was keenly aware of the obstacles and difficulties that Christians must face. He himself experienced them. He knows that we will experience many obstacles in our Christian journey. And simply put, our Christian journey is not going to be easy. Therefore, in the beginning of his letter to the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 1, Paul already told the Philippians in verse 28, "And in nothing be terrified by your adversaries." That is to say, don't be afraid of whatever comes between you and the Lord. Don't be afraid, even if your 100 meter dash become a hurdle race, clear them one by one. Under whatever circumstances, don't drop out of the race. Don't give up running. Run with concentration. Thirdly, run with direction. Run with direction. Oftentimes, running off course is just as bad as dropping out of a race. Do you know that if you participate in a track race, and if you run to the next lane, you know, you feel that one is more windy, you know, you want to go over to the other side, sorry, you will be disqualified. And if you run in a cross-country race, there's also the danger of wearing off course and then getting lost. Right? So, running off course is just as bad as dropping out of the race. So in your Christian race, you have to be careful also not to be diverted or thrown off course because of distraction in life, because of tiredness, injuries, or even blurness of vision or headaches. Don't be afraid by all these things. So remember, run with devotion, run with concentration, and run with direction. With these three tips in mind, we have looked at how we are to carefully consider our past, purposefully focus on our future, but because we live in the present, what's most important is that you honestly evaluate your present. Honestly evaluate your present. Paul announced in verse 14 of our text, saying, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The word translated as press, has the sense of pursuing. It's very much like just now what we read, reaching forth, and we have already touched on that. Well, how we ought to run with the pursuing mentality. But another point we have yet to touch on is perhaps the most important point in the course of our Christian journey, and I save it to the last. Notice the mark of this Christian race. The word translated as mark has the sense of goal or finish line. Goal or finish line. At the end of the finish line, for every Christian, let me say that again, Jesus awaits, Hebrews 12:2 tells us, as the author and finisher of his faith. The author and finisher of his faith. Your faith. The one that you have put your faith on is waiting at the finish line for you. What a consolation that would be for those Christians who are looking forward to meeting his Lord and Savior. But not only do we get to meet our Savior Jesus Christ at the end of our journey, we stand to win the prize of the high calling of God. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, this is not a lucky draw for participating runner. You know, all those races, they always have that. No. This prize undoubtedly will be the various rewards, crowns, and commendations presented at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Why did I say that the prize is probably the most important aspect of our Christian race? Because our perception of the prize will greatly affect the way you run the race. I remember when I was in the National Service, which was just a couple of years ago, the IPPT test, if you were to strike gold, the reward was only $40. $40. And we used to joke that $40, you can't even buy the supplement that you need, all the injuries that you go through. $40. After I left the army, it became $400. See? Wow, $400. And what happened? It made me wanted to run. It made me wanted to go for the goal. You know, you can buy your running shoe, you can buy all kinds of additional things. $40, I thought it was 20, but anyway, became $400 for the goal award. So, the price actually will affect your run. It is the same here. Imagine if you were to have a wrong concept of the price. Maybe your concept of the price is salvation. Maybe your concept of the price is a better house in heaven. Or whatever the case might be. So that is going to affect how you run the race. How much you want to achieve that. Or maybe you think that the prize is just a pat on the back. Oh, forget about it. You know, what's the big deal? I go through so much just to get a pat from Jesus Christ. Oh, but what is the prize? The Christian race, we know, is not a competitive race. It is not like the Olympics. As much as a lot of Christians like to put corporate ladders in the church to climb, the Bible is very clear that the Lord's church is not one of arrogant contention and strife amongst brethren. No. The race for Christians is not about setting the record for giving out the most tract, sharing the gospel with the most number of people. It is not about holding a certain position in church. No. It is rather about hearing the Lord Jesus Christ say, in Matthew 25, verse 21, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It is about receiving the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the crown of glory. It is about inheriting the heavenly treasures of eternal value and security promised to us. It is about accepting special responsibility and authority to rule with Jesus Christ when He comes back to do that. When we have a clear understanding from a biblical perspective of the prize that Christians are challenged to win, our natural course should be to honestly evaluate ourselves and strive to please our Lord and to glorify the Father. That would be the natural course. It will cause us to ask questions like, am I a faithful steward of the Lord's resources, such as His word, time, finances, spiritual gifts? It will cause us to ask, do I endure trials and overcome temptations in life? Have I been serving the Lord faithfully? These are self-evaluating questions that demand our attention. If you want to run the race, win the prize, improve on your run, you have to ask yourself this question. And you have to be honest about your answers. You have to be honest about your answers. In our Christian walk, it is vital that we evaluate our Christian health and physical performance. You know how we are so concerned about our physical health that we go for annual checkup or twice a year, that kind of thing. But how about our spiritual health? Do we go for checkup? Do we check ourselves spiritually? I fear that the answer most of the time is no. We just let it drift. We just let it deteriorate and go down the drain. Our lifestyle, activities, habits, priorities, and commitments, these are all important areas to look into. These are all important areas that we have to check and check and check. And see, in all these areas, does the Lord Jesus Christ have first place in my life? We need to do that. We need to ask ourselves, is my gathering with my church a vital part of my lifestyle? Or if it is only just when I'm free, when I'm not too tired, then I'll come. Do your priorities show that the Lord Jesus Christ has first place in your life? Surely, no one can say, as not even Paul, that he has achieved the goal. No. If you are a sinner saved by grace, then there is always more room for improvement. So honestly evaluate your present. Be rightly related to your present. Then you will know how fit or unfit you are in your run. You will check your stamina, your strength, and more importantly, you will assess your closeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. You might find that you have already overrun Him. You don't even care about Him. You just want to run, you just do want to do your own things. Or you may find that you are way behind Him. You have not been reading God's Word, you have not been attending church, you don't even care about Him. Check, how close are you with Christ? Are you side by side with Him? Let me close with these words from Paul in the next two verses, verses 15 and 16 of Philippians 3. Paul says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thirst-minded." That means of the same mind as Paul. "And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." Paul is here summarizing all that he has talked about in the past two verses. He is telling us Christians, have the same mind as him. run the same race, try to win the prize, do the same thing, and then focus on Jesus Christ. Don't drop out of the race. Push yourself to win that race. And that is the encouragement to you. How is your run? How is your run? Are the things of your past holding you back, such that you are not making any progress? If you are running, are you in lane? Are you in your lane? Do you have a clear view of the prize that God has set before you? Remember, how you consider your past is going to affect how you view your future. And of course, how you understand your prize is going to affect how you run presently. They all go together. Think about it as we take time now to have a time of invitation. Right? Please bow your head as we pray. Our dear Heavenly Father,